Sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200.
Dane Dunstan is a recognized executive coach in conscious leadership. He's helping teams to develop radical self-awareness. His newest book is Being Essential, 7 Questions for Living and Leading with Radical Self-Awareness. Welcome to the show, Dane.
Hey, George. It's great to be here. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. It's great to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. So I would say it started very early for me. I grew up with a family that moved a lot. My dad was on the fast track to become a CEO by the time he was 45, which he did. And so we moved every 18 months to 2 years, different cultures, different places. So I got to see, I think it was very good. It put me in a place of being an eclectic thinker. I wasn't locked into one way of how they thought in Dallas or how they thought in Atlanta or LA. Lived overseas a few times, traveled a lot. And two things sort of came up for me. One is just a powerful drive to read. I just, starting at about 8 years old, I started reading everything I could. and really polished my mind from that. I would just go pick up the World Book Encyclopedia or Britannica when I was older. And I would just sit down with S and I would read as much of S as I could because it was just office stuff I didn't know. It was fascinating. As I got older, I got into high school and in the university, I realized that because of all of that, I was on a different track from most of the people in school. And that was, I was really an eclectic autodidact. If I needed to pass a test in school, I could borrow somebody's notes on the chemistry midterm and I could get top of the class in it. But other than that, I just wasn't that interested in chemistry. What I was interested in was the world. If you put me in an economics class, I thought that was interesting, a history class, an art class, and got into a good university in California. But after about 3 years, it was the same deal. While I really admired some of the teachers I got to study with, I was just looking for something else. And I think looking back at it, what I was looking for really was what now I call self-awareness. I wanted to know who I was, why I was, wasn't always happy, wanted to figure that out. So in the third year of college, I literally stuck my thumb out and started hitchhiking east. I was 21 ended up 2 years later when I was 23, was in London running a yoga center and a natural foods restaurant and sort of just building that kind of stuff. But can I share something funny?
Please.
A lot of people don't know what the spark of the character what's the show? The football coach who goes to London.
Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. Yeah, I would love to talk to the producers of that and the writers because The first thing we learn about Ted Lasso, if we bother to look, is this. About 2 minutes into the first episode, they're in the first class section of the plane. The door of the lav opens up, and he sticks his head out and looks. That's the first time we see him. Cut to an empty aisle seat with a book on it. He walks forward, picks up the book, and sits down. The book, you have to sort of zoom in and get real close. The book is Jack Kerouac's The Dharma Bums, which was a book about people in Berkeley and California in the 1950s who were brilliant poets and stuff and all studying Buddhism and hitchhiking around the country and backpacking and hiking into the woods. And I said, okay, wow, does that tell me a lot about the character of Ted Lasso? So there we are. So that's what I did. And I did that for a while. By the time I was in my mid-30s, though, I was having a little bit of a crisis because it felt like nothing was working out. And I felt like I was stupid, and I felt like everything I tried would be successful for a little while, and then it wasn't. I hadn't learned at that point is that that's however everybody who does something really successful has to fail several times in most cases for it to get there. But I knew I wanted to write, so I really took that on. So at 35, I started really writing. I had moved from LA, where I couldn't sell anything, to Dallas, where I or to sorry to Houston, where I could sell stuff. I was getting paid to write ads and brochures and stuff, and wasn't a lot of money, but at least it was some money. I was writing poetry and short stories and getting that published, but not getting paid for it. I was editing a yoga journal, but not getting paid for that. But I sold a couple of magazine articles, and I was really thought I could make a thing in the car magazines because I was kind of a car nut. So I read something in Road and Track magazine that was a criticism of the quality levels in Detroit. American cars, this was the mid-80s, American cars had gotten really kind of not very good. So I thought about that. I had just finished reading a book called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Phenomenal book. If listeners haven't read it, you owe it to your intelligence to read this book because it's about what is quality. All sort of thought out on a long motorcycle trip by the author. So I wrote something that was only not very long, article length for Road and Track magazine, called it How Chevrolet Lost Its Mojo, sent it off, and I said, they're going to have to publish this. This is so good. They're going to have to publish it. And I how it goes. I didn't even get a rejection letter. Nothing. But about 2 months later, the phone rings and I pick it up and this voice goes, hi, my name is Don Runkle. I'm the chief engineer at General Motors. I want to talk to you about this article. Whoa. So it turned out that the editor had sent it to him. He thought it was great. He had everybody, it was required reading in the C-suite. And he wanted to know if I could turn it into a speech. So 37 and a half, I think I was earning about $1,200 a month. Suddenly I catapulted into the C-suite, stuck the landing and started writing for CEOs and top executives around the world. And it was just a moment of grace that put me in that place. And it was a moment of grace for a couple of different reasons, because
sick of procurement bottlenecks, endless back and forth, and last-minute surprises? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify and automate their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement. You'll know whether spend is approved before you buy, and Bill's AI-powered automation helps reduce errors so you can make purchasing decisions with confidence. Plus, Bill Procurement puts everything you need to match and pay invoices right at your fingertips. So dump your clunky procurement process and keep your business moving and growing with Bill Procurement. Purchase, pay, and on with your day. Right now, score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Just go to bill.com/procurement200. Don't wait. That's bill.com/procurement200.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
My father had been very, very successful, but it cost him a lot. And I watched him go through that, which is why I didn't want to be a CEO. Didn't want anything to do with that, and have succeeded at that. Standing in an office, talking to a CEO about what he wanted to write, things started happening. So at first it was like, what do you want to say? And I'll make it pretty. Then it was, okay, that's what you want to say, but why aren't you saying this? And they go, oh, that's interesting. What if we did that? And then I would get them on stage and I want to help them come across, you know, with how they reading it, usually reading a teleprompter. And I encountered something that really taught me a lot. There would be sort of two kinds of executives, male and female, who maybe I'd walk across the stage after their first reading and they'd hold their hand up and say, nope, I'm good, Dane. Thank you. You've done great. I'm good. They didn't want any coaching. They didn't want any help. The other kind, they would be walking towards me across the stage. How did I do? What do you think? What could it be better? Help me get this better. I'm going to have 5,000 people in here tomorrow. I got to pull this one off. Help me with this. What I noticed after a few years of that was that the first guys who said, no, I don't want anything. Get away from me. They didn't do very well. They tended not to be even with the company anymore, and the company didn't do very well. But the ones who came looking for help, saying, if you help me, I think I can be good at this, they were the ones who went from a division VP to division president to COO to CEO and did it pretty well. But also the quality of their companies was phenomenal. And I still am in touch with some of them, and it's just great to see. So that's, at some point they started saying, well, look, thanks for helping me on stage here, but I don't have an executive coach. Could you come help me there? And it was sure, because by that time I was deep enough into what their thinking was, but also deep enough into 20 other companies every year doing the same thing. So I could sort of cross pollinate a little bit. And so that's how I got here. Now, 95% of what I do is just the coaching of executives, helping them improve their thinking to what I call radical self-awareness.
Well, that is a great story right there. And you are a proficient hitchhiker to get all the way from California to London. So congratulations on that. What did your dad think when he did that?
I think it was hard for him. It was a little bit too bohemian. And we had some times where I would have to go have a talk with him and said, hey, I heard you said something to somebody. But two conversations, though, I think changed that, at least for me. Early on, after I had come back from London, I was with him in L.A. where he was CEO of an aluminum company. And he said, I've got a funny story. He said, I was on a plane from San Francisco back to LA last week, and I was talking to a young man who had just come back from London and was studying yoga there. And he said, it just changed his life. It just totally did everything for him. And he said, there was a guy that he was working with that was just changed his life. And my dad said, well, my son's in London teaching yoga. And the guy says, well, what's his name? Dane. He says, that was my teacher. That was the guy. And I honestly, I have a suspicion. I think I know which one of the people who came through the yoga center it might have been, but I'm not sure. Because he never said that to me particularly, although he was, enthusiastic. But what a gift to have somebody say that to your slightly disapproving father. The other thing was when he was in his early 90s, one day we were talking and he said, you know, I wish I had followed your path. I wish I could have been independent, creative, do the way you did it. And I really different. And so whatever differences we had after those two conversations was like, okay, thanks, Dad.
Oh,
That's a great way to
those are
do
great stories.
it. Yeah.
Was your mom a self-aware person?
My mom had some difficulties, and I didn't know it till I guess I was out of high school, but she was an alcoholic, didn't show up, very private, and had some mental issues. But she was had a couple of gifts. She was, and that helped me. She was a really good artist and did a lot of painting and things like that, which I think was very healing for her. She would also, from I was a very young kid, she would come into the bedroom. I guess she would go to my sister's room first and then to mine. And she would sit down in the dark with a book like Winnie the Pooh. And she would read a chapter out loud, doing each voice in the character of Eeyore or Winnie or whatever. And which sort of taught me theater and good writing and all of that. So it's really, really great gifts from her.
Well,
So it was phenomenal.
that's wonderful too. All right. Well, what is self-awareness?
Great question. So the way I define it and think about it is being able to ask two questions, and even knowing that there are a couple of questions. The first question would be, who am I being? And the second question is, what do I want? And it's very, very specific. This first came up with a CEO who was having a hard time. He had been the division president of a large dairy products company. The board had split the company into different parts, taken all of their sort of famous products out, and he was left with just basic dairy, which was still like a Fortune 350 company. It was huge. But he said, the problem is, I feel like everybody's just staring at me, wanting to know what I'm thinking. They won't leave me alone. If I walk down the hall, they're checking my body language and my face and what's my voice doing and stuff like that. It makes me really tense. And he had a C-suite who had never been at that level. They had been division people, but being a division HR or CFO is not the same as being at the top. Because of a lot of reasons. So I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Every time you get up from your desk, I want you to stop and ask, who am I being? What do I want? And again, the language is very specific. There's no judgment there. Who am I being is not who you promised your mom to be or your Sunday school teacher or whatever, or you read a book and the book said this is who you should be. No. Just who are you being right now? Are you pissed off? Are you angry? Are you upset? Are you happy? Are you feeling joyous? Whatever. Identify it. And then with that, what do you want? And the language, again, is very specific. Asking who you're being changes who you're being in that moment, just asking the question. Changing who you're being changes what you want. So maybe what you wanted to do was get up and go down to marketing and just do a little bit of yelling and banging pots and saying, you know, we just spent millions on this campaign. It's not working. We're getting no return. What's wrong with you guys? Is that really what you want? No. Who I want to be is I want to be calm, thoughtful, attentive, really having people feel that I see them, and I want to go down there and see what they need. How can I help? What do we need to do? What's not, why is this not working? That changes everything in an organization. It, going back to Ted Lasso, I wrote an article on the leadership secrets of Ted Lasso. But if you think about the first episode, the first thing he does, he's out on the field. They've walked in through the side gate. They're looking around. And here comes the character who is the young Indian guy. You can't get him. You've got to leave. And he introduces himself and says, come with me. And the guy says, me? What he spent that episode doing was astonishing that guy by paying attention to him, by actually seeing him, because nobody had ever seen him. And he went on to become the coach of another major team. And just because somebody saw him and he wanted to live in to that. So a leader who has that kind of self-awareness can really change the world. It's just a practice to get there.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Yeah.
That something pretty simple of actually listening and paying attention is such a unique thing.
Yeah. You know, I use the term leadership as a love story. And if you think about that, think about if there ever was a boss when you were starting out, or I was starting out, who you walk in and you can kind of see him looking across the office space at you and kind of chuckling. I had a first boss like that. During the summer when I was in college, I got a sales job, and they hired 40 young college guys, and we were supposed to go out and sell stuff. And every time I would walk in, I could just see this like amused look on his face, like there's Dane again. Okay, we'll see how we do today. But I will tell you, I wanted to live into that so much. It felt so good to be seen by somebody that I was the last man standing at the end of the summer of the 40. And they had an award ceremony for just the company in general. And he held up an envelope and said, this is for the hardest working young man I've ever known, and gave it to me. And believe me,
wow,
George, no one had ever described me that way. But I wanted to live into that. And so think of other bosses who you've had that have made you feel that way. It changes everything.
That is the absolute truth. I can point to a couple of moments in my life where somebody saw something in me that I either didn't see myself or I didn't know that others saw in me. And it has made such a massive difference.
Yeah.
So to help others, to bring out the best in others, must I be self-aware, or can I not be self-aware and still be effective at that? I don't even know if that's a worthwhile question.
No, I think it's a good question. And I get asked that question. Look, if you're not self-aware, then you don't know how you're affecting people. And look at all of us. You know, we spend most of our lives worried about how other people are looking at us, making up things about how they're thinking about us, assuming that they are thinking about us when they probably don't even know who the hell we are and haven't thought a thing about us all day. But we're feeling not accepted or not appreciated, or all these things that we feel. It comes from early childhood. We wrap ourselves up with this protection and assume that we're not good and not being heard. That's not self-awareness. So self-awareness is, again, stopping and saying, okay, wait a minute. How does this feel? I'm feeling really tense. You know, back of my neck is tight. My chest hurts a little bit. What's going on? Okay, let's let that go. Okay, now what thought made that happen? Because nothing's happened here. You know, I've been sitting here just answering email. What kicked that off? That's the path towards self-awareness. And when you have the self-awareness, you can take that feeling then and say, okay, wait a minute. I don't want to feel this way. Let me change it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I'll give you an example. A couple of years ago, our company had lost a pretty big client, and it was big enough that I was going, okay, what's this going to do to cash flow? And then, gosh, how am I going to do marketing? What am I going to do? It's not what I do. My career has been built on the phone ringing, you know, and now what am I going to do? Go start sending out emails and how to do that. So I left the house, was driving to the gym, and I just asked the question, all right, where am I? How does this feel? And I realized I was really tense and I was really not feeling good. And so I was trying to like loosen my body up. And then suddenly I had this thought and said, oh, I've just spent the morning thinking about all this, what's going to happen, all this sort of negative stuff about how are we going to replace that client? What are we going to do with that? And I said, stop. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'll just let go of that. I'll let that take care of itself and I'll do stuff for it, but I'll let it take, but I'm not going to worry about it. Just let it go. And it was gone. And I will tell you, it didn't return. It was, and what it was not really anything to do with the business. It was little Dane telling himself, as he always had as a little guy, you're not good enough. Nothing ever works out, you know? And then saying, no, I'm not going to be that guy anymore. And that was the moment of self-awareness. That's what I do to myself. So let go of that, jump in. And I'll bet everyone listening, if they have any self-awareness, will be able to say, oh, yeah, and what I do is, it's probably pretty much the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right.
I have a term in the book that one of the first exercises is to go look for a moment in childhood where you felt completely at one with the universe. Joseph Campbell uses this term. He said, what did you do as a child that created timelessness? Therein lies the myth to live by. And not everybody can find those, but I find most people can. If you think about it for a little while, you find a moment where you say, oh, yeah, I have a friend who went on to become a quite well-known improv comic and then a very well-known coach in England and over here. She went to, her family got a house on a lake up in New York. And one morning at dawn, she saw it was dawn. She walked out. There was a little, tiny little sailboat that she was able to push out. And she'd been taught how to sail it, pulled the sail up and just sailed across this mirror-like lake back and forth. As the sun was rising, she felt totally in command. She felt like she was a bird who could fly across the lake and that she could make up anything and it would happen. And it's interesting that she became an improv comic. You know, it's just that she was so good at it. So we all have a moment like that or other moments. Can anything pop up for you?
I was thinking about it, and I think probably when I was playing tennis as a kid, that was kind of my big thing.
I have another client who I asked that question was, and similarly, he said, fifth or sixth grade, Somebody suggested he take up a martial arts and start doing karate. And so he did. And then the karate teacher, after about 6 months at it, said, "There's a little get together of different schools. We're going to have a contest. You come." So he did his fight, wins gold at the thing, and he's standing up there getting presented the medal. And he said that was a moment when he sensed that he was completely valuable and that that was the essence of who he was. He was the CFO of a really, really successful company in New York when he was 31. Just, I mean, we find that essence, then we can start to build on it and do that. So that's what I start with clients on. And then once we sort of start to work on that, then we can say, how do we get back to that essence? How do we go back to that? And it's something we're working on right now called Reclaiming Genius, based on some interesting research that was done by a guy named George Land. NASA asked them to develop a test to find out who were the best problem solvers in the organization. If you remember the movie Apollo 13, they're all thrown into the room with a bunch of equipment and told failure is not an option. We got to put this round thing into a square thing or however it was. Being able to go into that kind of a situation and do that. So they decided to develop the test. They said, let's go back and look at children. So Land and his group went back to 4 and 5 year olds, kindergartners, and tested them and found out that based on the metrics they were using, 98% of them basically had genius intelligence. They were just like creative problem solvers. Nothing would stop them. They went back 5 years later, and that number was down to 32%. They went back 55, another 5 years when they were 15, it was down to 10%. And at that point, the teachers who were helping them were so depressed with what they were learning about what was happening to these kids, they stopped it. They wouldn't do any more tests. But that's where it is. So I was working with some neuroscientists recently, and one in particular who's up in Helsinki. And so we were talking about this, and I said, well, my question is, where did that intelligence go? He said, I don't think it went anywhere. I think what happens is it kind of gets kicked out of us with fear, and we wrap up and not wanting to look good. And we go to preschool and got other 4 and 5 year olds telling us we're an idiot, so we don't want to look like an idiot, so we start to act like that, and we lose it. And so the question is, could we get it back? So what we're working on right now is a program called Reclaiming Genius. We've got a work group starting up in a couple of weeks. We're going to put some neuroscientists and some company leaders and some coaches all together for 3 months. Not every day for 3 months, but and work through this and see how do you restore that? How do you bring it back? How do you at least find that essence of yourself and really be aware when you're really thinking smart and when you're not?
I think that that's wonderful. And when you said kicked out of you or beaten out of you, same thing I was thinking too. It's like, oh, great. Look at the great work we're doing as a school system is completely pulling kids away from where they feel the best. It's amazing.
And that never was the intention, but remember school. Sit down, shut up, and don't ask any questions.
Yeah. I'm not sure that that wasn't not the intention, Dane, but that's probably a podcast for another day. Well, this has been excellent. I fancy myself, as I told you, a self-aware person, and the ability to make somebody feel comfortable, make somebody feel seen. I think that that is a legitimate human superpower. And the next time you come on, maybe we can talk about whether or not you think that that's innate or not. But I'm guessing that you think that it can be learned because you wrote a book about how to do it, and your work is designed to help leaders and teams to become better at it. But I just can give my 2 cents that reading this and going through the exercises that Dana's put forward will help you to sharpen your skills and strengthen your ability to do this. And again, if you can help somebody to be seen, you're going to probably change their life, or at least have the potential to do that. So,
well, and then they'll change other people's lives. So that's it sort of pays forward.
It's one of those virtuous cycles that we're looking for. So
it is.
So thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more? How can they engage with you? Where can they get their copy of Being Essential, 7 Questions for Living and Leading with Radical Self-Awareness?
On Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of the sites. The book's available, and I've got other books there too. DaneDunstan.com is about my books and writing and work. That also has a big link to our company, Reservoir.llc, which is where we do our coaching work for companies and come in and help their people. So that's what it is. And if anybody's interested in being part of this Reclaiming Genius work group, reach out to me. It's going to go for 3 months, 2 Saturdays a month. And we're going to do some stuff. And the intention is to create a book about it as we go through. And again, the group is, we've got several neuroscientists, several business leaders, several coaches, several books in there. So it's quite a group to be in. And if we put a book together, everybody will get credit for their work on developing the ideas. So we'd love to have you join us.
Excellent. It's your version of those NASA engineers. Love it. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Dane your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to DaneDunstan.com, DaineDunstan.com. And check out all things Dane Dunstan. If you're interested in the Reclaiming Genius Project Dane was just talking about, reach out and let him know. And if you're part of an organization, check out his work at reservoir.llc and then pick up your copy of Being Essential wherever you buy your books. And I'll certainly link all those in the notes. Thanks again, Dane.
Thanks, George.
Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.